This is Ian Gregg reporting for CIFA Radio's Due North on 88.7 FM. This initiative is made possible by the Community Radio Fund of Canada through the Local Journalism Initiatives Program. Find our news stories online at frequencynews.ca or cfur.ca. This interview is one in a series CIFA Radio 88.7 FM is conducting ahead of the federal 2025 election occurring April 28th. Our aim is to make a reasonable effort to showcase each candidate running in the Prince George Cariboo riding and the Prince George Peace River Northern Rockies riding, which both intersect our community of Prince George Clay-Lytonnais. The intention of the series is to give each candidate an opportunity to share their goals and objectives for their respective ridings and give the audience a sense of who these people are. The following has been edited for clarity and brevity. Joining us over the line at CIFA Radio is Clinton Emsley, who's running for the Federal Liberal Party in the Cariboo Prince George District. Mr. Emsley is a Quesnel-based immigration consultant. Thanks for making some time for us this morning. Do you want to tell us a little bit about yourself?
I migrated from Ontario to Cariboo beginning of 2024, actually. And that was literally following best friends whose daughter is our godchild. They immigrated to Canada and ended up in Prince George. And basically, we just decided to be closer to them so that it made it easier to engage them, to help them settle and all of those other things that go with it. So, you know, in so researching where to come and stay ahead of moving here was, we went all over the place, Vanderhoof, Prince George, Williams Lake, all over. And we ended up finding a farm in Quesnel that we really, really liked. And although that didn't happen, the town gripped us because it's beautiful here. You know, and it's not big, and there's not thousands and thousands of people to contend with all the time. And we ended up finding a beautiful home, and that's why we are here.
Your base of operations is in Quesnel, BC now then.
So. That's right. Yeah. So the head office for my businesses is here, and basically we service the whole of Canada.
As it came to running for the Federal Liberal Party of Canada for the Cariboo Prince George District, how did that come about? Did you put your name into the hat, or were you approached by the party? It all happened very quickly.
Well, this has been a long time coming for me. I've been dabbling in politics for many years. You know, I've been supporting politicians throughout my career in terms of helping them get their votes and door knocks and stuff like that. You know, back in 2018, I received a community leadership award when we were still staying in Ontario from the PM at the time, Trudeau. And that was just about the grassroots stuff that I do in terms of engaging with communities and uplifting and developing skills and things like that. You know, that's my nature, is pass on your knowledge, you know, because it's really about skilling other people up with what you've learned through your career so that they can do better at their lives. And that said, at the time I was very much involved with the mayor of Mississauga, which is Bonnie Crombie, now a Liberal leader for Ontario. So my siding has always been on the Liberal side. You know, I come from the LGBTQ community. I am a member of it. I'm a business person, and I render the same services as everybody else. You know, so from that standpoint, it's always been something in my career to help marginalized communities be recognized and to have fair treatment in terms of life, in terms of services and access to resources and stuff like that. So, you know, thinking recently, is politics has never been something on my radar to enter. You know, it's always been a support-based structure and things like that. And right now, I think, you know, considering what's going on with our neighbors to the south and the trade wars and everything else that's affecting us, my decision to run, I wasn't approached, I decided to run, was basically about how can I assist in the current mess of things with my business skills in terms of bringing logic and thought and process to the table that is nonpartisan. I'm a nonpartisan person. I don't throw stones to the other side in terms of saying you're good at this and we're bad at that and you're bad at this and we're good at that. That's not the kind of person I am. I'm a solutions-focused person. How do we fix what is going to go wrong because something's going to go wrong very, very soon. The trade wars are crazy. And how do we continue working at picking up the pieces that COVID has left us? It's been a very difficult last 5-6 years. Have been very, very challenging for everybody in Canada, not just certain people. You know, it's affected all of us. And I think especially in these rural communities, picking up the pieces post-COVID has been challenging. And I think we're not even through the mess that's left afterwards. You know, people took out loans and there were the CEBA loans and everything else in between just to keep businesses afloat, that people could still earn salaries and there was income and food on the table. Those people are still paying off those loans. So the pain and the suffering of COVID is still being felt every single day. And now we have the next dilemma on the table, which is the trade war. So the matter of focus right now needs to be one of unity. Our message of unity is vital to Canada's survival. We cannot be divided in going forward. You know, we need a strong leader at the table, and Mark Carney is that strong leader. He's got a PhD in economics. He's been the governor of Canada's banks and England's banks, and I've got a proven track record of making sure we can survive these things. Come together and choose the right way forward. Because the next 4 years are going to be tough.
As it pertains to the Caribou Prince George riding, what do you think it means to be a Liberal for the North in our PC riding?
It's a difficult question to answer that, because we're in a stronghold region of BC that's predominantly Conservative. So that said, I'm not targeting that at all. You know, people can choose who they vote for. They can be who they want to be. That's not the message. My message is come together, unified. We need to stand behind a solid leader at this point in time. Put party aside. You know, we need to choose the right guy for the job. That's the message right now. Putting the right person at the helm that can fight this trade war for us and carry us through this economic challenge that's going to hit us head on, you know, because that's what we need right now. We don't need partisan politics. We don't need hate and division and all of those kind of things that have been creeping into Canadian politics over the last 10 years. You know, it's crazy to see it, because Canadian politics have traditionally been kind and respectful, the nature of our people. But the way of American politics has slowly crept in over the last decade, and it's starting to sour the way politics work. So, you know, right now, my message to the community is really choose the right guy for the job. Choose wisely. Think about our next 4 years and where that's going to take us if we are not got people in the roles that can actually fight for us and put the resources on the table that we need to survive the trade war that's really going to impact us. Our region is, I won't say unique, but it's got a commodity that's our sole source of income, which is the timber industry. If that's under threat, which it is, how is that going to affect our region on top of COVID's damage that's been done? That's the message right now, is we've got to think clearly. We've got to think, what else can we do to bring income into our communities? You know, and it doesn't necessarily all come from government at this point in time, because there's a limited amount of resources to go around, and it's a big country. But what do we do as politicians in our communities to encourage industry to invest in our communities, to encourage tourism into our industries, get people from Canada to come and visit our places, you know, because that is a spend in our community and it's an immediate investment. It's one of the important things is diversification. Bring diversification to the table and teach local businesses to think big picture. You know, go beyond what we're used to, because we require change right now. And that's an uncomfortable period to be in, because we get used to certain things. You know, it's called the comfort zone. We got to get out of that comfort zone, and we got to think, how do we survive this trade war? Because it's here. The next thing that I really want to focus on, and it's not an easy fix, this one, is to address our cost of living crisis. COVID pushed cost of living way up there. Now the trade war is just going to continue pushing it up there. So, you know, that affects cash in our pockets at the end of the day. And, you know, what are the things that we can do as politicians at the big table to address those issues so that there's decisions made and programs implemented that bring cash back to our pockets? Getting rid of the carbon tax has been the first step. Reducing taxes on the middle class is the next step. You know, there's other things that are in motion at the moment. Investment into the skilled trades and things like that. The government's offering to pay for those skilled trades. Our communities need those skills at the moment to build the homes that we need. So there's a lot of stuff happening at the foundational levels at the moment. You know, it's been, what, a month since Carney was sworn in as the PF? And we have an election on our table to make sure that we can continue this work that we do. Like I said, growing our tourism industry is very, very important to me because it shows that we can diversify to add it to the timber industry. Our entire community hinges on the timber industry. Everything hinges on that. Shops, schools, universities, supermarkets. Without that industry, everything falls apart. So we've got to diversify and we've got to find other mechanisms that bring investment to our communities, to our towns, to our cities. Building resilient communities, that's a very important thing to me, is teaching people to understand what's going on. It's not just a matter of sitting back and saying, oh, I don't care about politics. I don't care about this. I don't care about that. It's all good and well to be that person, but it's important to also understand that we need to be connected to what's going on, so that we are taking part in the solutions. And that's the kind of leader I am. I'm a person that talks and listens, and we bring ideas to the table. I'm not the only one with solutions. You know, I don't have all these solutions. I don't proclaim to. It's about collaboration and talking and discussing and taking that to the big table where decisions get made. I'm the voice of the community. I can take those ideas. I can take those discussions to the big table where decisions get made. And that's the important thing, is having an able person in that role that is not afraid to talk, that is not afraid to stand up and fight respectfully, and can achieve the results that we're looking for. That's what I'm running for. A lot of the stuff is interconnected. It's really to protect our jobs. Our industry is reliant on jobs, and without jobs that continue to pay salaries, without creating new jobs to get our unemployed components employed, we're just going to start seeing increases to homelessness and drug abuse and mental health issues. Those are the big things that are affecting our communities right now. We've got to put some fundamental solutions in place to address that. And there's no easy solution. There's no quick fix. It's not a light switch problem. You know, it takes time. It takes thought. It takes resources. It takes planning to implement things that will address those resources. My spouse is a mental health professional, so I hear the challenges that are going through in our communities every single day. It's scary stuff that's happening out there that most people don't even realize. And that is important, because without addressing those grassroots problems in our communities, they're just going to get worse. They're like festering sores. You know, if you don't treat them, they get worse. And then suddenly a limb falls off, and then you don't walk properly. And then it's this, and then it's that, and then the wheels fall off. It's really about addressing those fundamental baseline challenges that we've got to start improving the resilience in our communities to deal with such challenges that we're going through. And the world has changed. The world is not a nice place anymore. And we really have to learn to be our own economic superpower. You know, that's really what it's about, is to diversify our trade away from the traditional. You know, the traditional has let us down at this point in time. You know, Canada's comfort zone is out the roof at the moment because our traditional trade routes are broken. Canada spent enormous amounts of money over the last decade in improving the ports on either side of Canada, BC, Newfoundland, Nova Scotia, and all of those places, because they're ocean-based. They've spent a huge amount of resources in equipping those ports to handle what we need right now. Further, it's a matter of looking at the investment into renewable energy and resources that have been done, the technology investments into making Canada a superpower in renewable energy that can be sold to other places. You know, we supply how much electricity to the United States? You know, that can be sent elsewhere. We then eliminate those tariffs because we don't need to send it there. That's really the challenges that are sitting on our table. And that's where Mark Carney is the good guy at the table.
As a potential Northern MP, do you feel it's important to address that transition from Trudeau to Mark Carney as the party changes leadership? Is there a balance there that you're navigating?
Well, most certainly, yes. I mean, you know, I always say no politics is perfect. No party is perfect. It's about choosing the right person for the job and making sure that we can hold them accountable. You know, I think the Liberal Party realized at some point that Trudeau did a great job up to a certain point, and at some point, not so good. You know, and really the Liberal Party put a lot of pressure on him to step down, which he did. You know, and from that standpoint, it's internal controls that are steering the ship in the right direction. You know, I always look at politics as a ship. A ship is a big thing, and it takes a long time to change direction in terms of that ship. So it takes a lot of push and a lot of pull in terms of dynamics that happen inside the ship to make it change direction. And that has finally happened. Has damage been done? Most certainly. But it's not catastrophic damage. It's things that can still be fixed. And, you know, I think what Trudeau did during COVID carried us through. That was phenomenal stuff that happened very quickly, decisive, implemented resources that really got us through that 2-3 year window of crazy. That's all I can say about COVID. It was crazy. Never in my life have I experienced something like that. And we survived it. Thereafter, it's about picking up pieces. You know, what most people don't understand is decisions made at this level are not things that can be switched on and off like a light switch. They take time, you know, because implementing resources post-COVID, we had no skills to do the jobs. People didn't want to go back to work. You know, what does the government do? They open the doors and they say, come and work for us in Canada. And we bring in people to come and work, but they didn't close the door soon enough. And that's what ended up with our housing crisis. They recognized that late last year, and they closed the doors very quickly and implemented massive changes, which are now in place. People are unhappy about it, myself included, because it affects my industry. So it's to say, how do we bring that understanding to the table where people of the community can understand it? You know, it's about teaching people to learn how decisions get made, how their input affects those decisions. And the more noise we can make, the better for our communities. Sitting quietly on the side does nothing for you. And that's my promise, is to be the noisemaker.
Thank you so much for your time this morning. This is Caribou Prince George MP candidate Clinton Emsley for the Federal Liberal Party, based in Quesnel. I wish you the best of luck traveling down to Vancouver, meeting Mark Carney, and doing the rest of your interviews today.
Thank you, Ian, and you have a great day.
You as well. This is Ian Gregg reporting for CIFA Radio's Due North on 88.7 FM. This initiative is made possible by the Community Radio Fund of Canada through the Local Journalism Initiatives Program. Find our news stories online at frequencynews.ca or CFUR.ca.